Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
6. I want us all to get there. Says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and upon and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. Over here, we see Jesus Christ being introduced in a wonderful manner. The Bible says that his name will be called Wonderful. Not his names, plural, but his name will be called Wonderful. This is really the introduction of the fivefold ministry that we know: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So the name Wonderful is tells us about the ministry of the apostle. They have great signs and wonders, and so the ministry is wonderful. We know that the apostle basically is grace to break new grounds, introduce new understanding, a new system altogether, go where nobody has gone, as it were. So that is the ministry of the apostle, and the counselor is the prophet, the ministry of the prophet. You know, the mighty God is describing Jesus Christ as an evangelist. The mighty God is Jesus as an evangelist. In the ministry of an evangelist, we see a lot of the might of God, as wrong belief system is eroded, and then the new or the right belief system is brought into being. So Jesus is an evangelist. That is why he is named the Mighty God. And then the Everlasting Father is the ministry of the pastor. Okay? Everlasting Father is the ministry of the pastor, and the Prince of Peace is the ministry of the teacher. The work of the teacher is to bring peace, shalom peace, into our lives. Shalom peace is not just talking about the peace that we are familiar with, but it also includes welfare, prosperity, well-being, and all that. That comes by the ministry of the teacher. As I said on Sunday, the apostle and the prophet are actually foundational ministries or foundational ministers. Okay? The Bible tells us about being founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So they are foundational ministers, breaking new ground and introducing somebody to the Word of God. Having a taste of the Word of God is foundational. Okay? So after they have worked, broken new grounds, introduced the Word of God, the evangelist comes in to bring them to proper faith in the Lord. And then the pastor comes in to gather the people, you know. And then the teacher is the final ministry that is supposed to bring us the full counsel of God, that is supposed to, as it were, fine-tune the church and bring them to a place of maturity. So whereas the apostle and then the prophets are foundational ministries, the pastor and the teacher are perfecting ministries. Allow me to put it that way. You know, God has a way of pairing these ministries. Normally, the apostle and the prophet are paired in the Bible, and the pastor and the teacher are normally also paired in the Bible. Okay, so we understand that the prophet has a major function. The major function of the prophet is actually to pray, and we looked at that from the book of Genesis chapter 20 and then verse 7 and some few other places in the Bible last Sunday. I want us to move on from that place, and we want to look at what prophetic praying is. Prophetic praying is praying like prophets. God wants us to pray like prophets. How do prophets pray, or how are they supposed to pray? Prophets are supposed to know the future, and then from that prophetic height, they pray the mind of God into being, so that before that future happens, the prophetic ministry is supposed to ground or establish God's will in the future, so that it becomes a reality when the time comes. So that is basically what prophetic prayer is about. Prophetic prayer is knowing God's mind and then establishing it in the future right now. Okay, so you understand that the prophet, the name prophet, just means a foreteller, somebody who knows the future and can predict the future before it happens. And God gives such a grace to people, you know, so that we will have the mind of God and we will be able to pray according to the will of God and establish that future for our own selves. I must say that if we do not learn to pray prophetically, we cannot change trends. Things will continue to become or to repeat themselves until we get to that point of finding out what God has got for us, and from the prophetic mountain establish that thing in the future. Until we do that, we are really not going to see a break in the trend. God reveals things to us. He reveals His word to us. Over 3/4 of the Bible is actually prophetic or prophecy. God reveals His mind to us so that what? So that we will work with it, so that we will prepare ourselves towards it, so that we will put it ahead of us. I want you to understand that prophetic prayer requires a lot of faith to pray. Faith and maturity is required, because anytime a person or a people discover God's purpose for them, God's will for their future, and they are trying to work on it, those people are going to have opposition from the devil. The devil is not just going to allow for his captives or his people he has taken into captives to go. He will not allow the trend to change. He will want the things, the status quo, to be. He will want us to languish in the poverty that we are in the ignorance that we are in the mediocrity that we are in. He will want us to even deteriorate further. But God's will is that we will do well as time goes on. So, prophetic praying is wonderful. You may not be a prophet, but you must learn to pray prophetically. I must say that if you look at a typical believer's prayer life, prophetic praying is to form a chunk of it. It is just like God has chosen to prophesy His mind and His purposes from Genesis, and it is splashed all over the Bible. God has fundamentally used prophets, you know, to speak His word, and they are spoken about things in the future. Like I said, over 3/4 of the Bible is actually prophecy. So our prayer lives must be full of prophecy. Hallelujah. That is where we pray in faith. We pray knowing that this is what God's destination for us is, and this is what we are praying and we are believing that it happens to us. Hallelujah. So we must lift ourselves into prophetic praying. I must say that most of the prayer that we pray are not prophetic. They are reactionary in nature. In other words, they are us believers reacting to what the devil is doing. And it is sad for people to operate like that, because then the devil becomes your leader and he becomes your king. He becomes a person who is dictating the battle. He becomes a person who is determining the tune. He becomes a person who is in charge and not God. That should not be the case. We should not be swayed by the devil and his works. So we need to move away from reactionary praying. Reactionary praying is where you are waiting for something to happen, or you pray based upon what is currently happening, you know. And most of the things that the devil does is really a decoy. It is a way of swaying you from what you really must focus on. That is his style. The devil likes to deceive people. He likes to throw dust into the eyes of people so that they will move away from what they have to focus on and then react. And then after they have dealt with whatever situation, or you have dealt with whatever situation, he will bring another one and then you react. Then he brings another one and then you react. So you see that your whole life, like a puppet, is being controlled by the devil and his works. But apart from the works of the devil, ladies and gentlemen, there is the work of God. There is something, there is God's program. And so we have to focus on God's program. That is the prophetic that we are talking about. That is his mind that he has revealed. Hallelujah. Am I saying that you should not pray about things that are going on right now? No, I'm not saying that. You can pray about things that are going on, but that should not be the focus of your prayer. But you see, human as we are, it is what is going on that gets our attention. Because that is what is making the news. And because we are not strategic in our prayers, what we do is that we just react to what is happening. Look at the typical prayers of believers. When we meet together to pray, we talk about happening in our country, that are happening in our churches, that are happening in our lives. That is what we talk about, and that is what we pray about. Let us pray that maybe ISIS, let us pray that maybe the brutalities, let us pray that the elections, I mean, things like that. But we need to lift ourselves away from these things, not those things being our focus, so that we can pray prophetically and establish God's mind, God's will for us in our future. Let me also say that we are the results of prophetic praying. People many years ago, decades ago, centuries ago, prayed what we are experiencing right now. So we also need to look ahead and pray what our children, what our old age, what our grandchildren should experience. Hallelujah. I must say also that we do not really have control over the present. Sometimes we think that we have control over the present, but we have very little control over the present. If nothing, if no control at all over what is going on presently in our lives. Hallelujah. Because when things are happening, certain laws are in place. And once one happens, the other one is sure to follow. So many times, we cannot really control what is happening presently, what is going on. That is why the major focus of our prayer should be in the future, should be establishing the future God has got for us. Can I have an amen?
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Okay. So, we are going to be praying some transgenerational prayers to ensure our generational future. And we want to look at some of the things that God has said about our future so that we will not only pray them, but we will also plan for them. Can we also pray and plan? Yeah. We will not only pray them, but we will also plan them. Okay. So, let's look at the first thing that we need to pray about. What God has said, what He has prophesied about, that we need to pray about. Please look at the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. The Bible says that, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." Hallelujah. So the Bible is telling us about the reconstitution of some things. God wants to restore things that have been destroyed or have been scattered. The Bible says that He used holy prophets to declare these things since the world began. And Jesus Christ is going to hold on until we have these times of restoration or restitution of not some things, but of all things which God has spoken by His prophets. So, the first area that we can say that God wants to work on and we need to pray prophetically is the restoration of what prophets have spoken. It is the reconstitution of God's original purposes, original glories, original understandings, original abilities, graces, opportunities of individuals and people groups. Hallelujah. So God has something in mind which has been destroyed through the weaknesses of humans. But God is determined to bring these things into practical reality. Hallelujah. For through the mouth of his prophet called Moses, God prophesied or said that mankind was to have dominion on the earth. And this dominion is supposed to be exercised in a way that is pleasing unto God. So that is what we need to pray. We need to pray that God's original kingdom constitutions would be established, you know. And when we pray that way, we are going to have the negative trends changing. When God or Jesus said, "Your kingdom come," he was inferring that something must go. Because when his kingdom comes, a kingdom must go or give up. And that is what we need to pray. This is really what the eyes of the Lord is upon. His eyes is upon his word. He wants to perform them. So we, you and I, need to pray that things are going to change. Look at 2 Timothy 1, 9 to 10. 2 Timothy 1, 9 to 10. I must say also that in prophetic praying, the trust should be on dealing with God's word for people groups. You know, if you look into the Bible critically at the way that prophets of old operated, you see that they dealt more with people groups and God's word for those people groups. So we need to focus on God's glory and the things that God has got for people groups. 2 Timothy chapter, did I say chapter 2? Chapter 1. And then verse 9. Says that who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And please underline his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So God has called us according to his purpose and his grace, which was given. That's past tense. His purpose was given to us. And then a certain grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Wow. Wow. That should tell us that God has got a certain purpose for you and I, for people groups, for our generation. And God gave this purpose to us before even human beings were created. Wow. And they were given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So God gave us a purpose, and then he gave us a grace, of course, to be able to fulfill that purpose. Look at verse 10. But has now been revealed. What has been revealed? God's original purpose and original graces has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. So although God gave it to us in Christ Jesus before humans were created, the Bible says that God's intention is that it is revealed by the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, that means that there are certain things that must really happen on the face of this earth and happen to you and I, which the saints of old who did not see Jesus did not experience. So Jesus, by his coming, was going to take us way back to God's original purpose and God's original graces for humans before we came around. That is why our standard is not the people in the Old Testament. That is why Jesus is our standard. That is why God expects that this purpose that he has given to Gentiles, this purpose he has given to Jews, this purpose he has given to the church of the Lord, is prayed about, and it becomes a reality in our lives. Whether we saw it in Elijah or Elisha or Noah or the patriarchs or not, it's not really the case. Jesus is our standard. That is why he says that it was given to us in Christ Jesus. If something was given to us in Christ Jesus before we came around, it's only when Christ Jesus appears that that thing would also appear. Because they were given to you, not in Abraham, not in Moses, not in Elijah, not in Adam. It was given to you in Jesus, in the second Adam.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.